flowers are blooming, the grass is growing, and it's time to chop the weeds. Thanks to our sponsors at Manscaped, you can trim those holes safely and efficiently. I'm talking about ball trimmers, y'all. Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, have an exclusive offer for the Thomas Island audience. If you use our code, TAMA, and you'll get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Join the 2 million men who trust Manscaped. They're here to make sure your balls are trimmed and smelling nice. After all, it's time for some spring cleaning. Manscaped has all the tools to get you spring ready. Have you heard about the Weed Whacker? It's a nose and ear hair trimmer that provides proprietary skin-safe technology which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. There's no more gross nose hairs flying off into the wind. Plus, the premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor and a 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Manscaped is making it easier than ever to whack your weeds and also to make sure that you have the most confidence while also providing hygiene. Speaking of incredible hygiene, Manscaped has formulations to keep you fresh and ready for everything that comes your way all day. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. It's starting to get hot outside, and this is crucial for your balls to stop sticking to your leg. I use it. It's great, especially as the summertime gets swampier. If you go to manscaped.com right now and use the code TAMA, you'll get 20% off and free shipping. That's right, use the code TAMA for free shipping and 20% off at manscaped.com. Manscaped, shave your balls.
I'm your host, Tama Tongo, with my man here, Ross Berman. How you doing, brother?
I'm feeling good, man. How are you doing? How's your weekend?
Very good. We had a nice weekend here with the fam. Easy going, nothing crazy. Nice, beautiful weather here in the state of Florida. A little chaotic with the situation with the virus. But hey, it's all right. We pulling through. How about over there in Chicago, man?
Oh, Chicago's the same way. We're in some weird hybrid of phase one and phase four, where our mayor was just like, yeah, you're not allowed to serve alcohol indoors. It's phase three, but with loopholes to make it feel like phase one. It's a different time here in Chicago, but I've been inside. I've been hanging out. I had to cover, WrestleZone had me covering the latest New Japan happenings that happened just this morning. New Japan Road happened, and Bullet Club almost gave everyone a quick heart attack because Evil, Dick Togo, and Taiji Ishimori were about to face off against Hiromu Takahashi, Bushi, and Tetsuya Naito in the main event when Hiromu Takahashi took off his leather jacket and revealed a Bullet Club t-shirt, much to everyone's surprise. But then lo and behold, it was actually just a tease to get Evil, Dick, and Bone Soldier off of their game, and then Hiromu took that shirt off and started choking Evil with it. But
man,
a lot of people for a good minute there thought
that's some bullshit, man. Bone, using our own tactics, man, coming in with that. I didn't believe it one bit, man. Come on, yeah. Ross, I didn't believe that one bit.
Look, hey, I admit I paused for a little bit, but my favorite was Jado eventually reacted to it saying, well, at least we got the merch sale from it.
Jado. Oh, he's great, man. He's great. Look, we're speaking about members, new members, wannabe members here that, you know, use that shirt who's that bag? The Trojan?
Oh, the Trojan horse. Yeah, when the Greeks left a big wooden horse for the people.
Yeah, that ain't
inside. And what was in there? Assassins, baby.
Ain't gonna work with us, L.I.J. You still salty as hell because we took one of your main men. All right, one of your main men. But it's all good because we're gonna dive in to past forgotten
Bullet Club members.
Ooh, we're going deep into the lost members of Bullet Club. We're going to talk
the lost Bullet Club members. Where did they go?
Lost to time, lost to the static, lost to just I don't know what whatever. But we're gonna drag them out into the light. Who are some of the lost Bullet Club members people can expect us talk about?
The one on top of my head right now is Cody Hall.
Ooh, we're gonna talk Cody Hall.
We got Cody Hall.
Maybe there's a little, I don't know, I remember Jeff Jarrett was in there for a little
Jeff
bit.
Jeff Jarrett was in there. We got Jeff Jarrett. We got Stephen Amell.
Stephen Amell, Frankie Kazarian, a lot of
Frankie Kazarian. What the hell?
Yeah, for a good good minute, he was in there. We can't
El Terrible.
Ray Buccanero as well, the CMLL contingent.
We got the first Bone Soldier, not the second. The second's still with us. The first Bone Soldier. Would you consider Scott D'Amore?
Hey, look, you and me, before we started recording this, we were trying to figure it out. Was Scott D'Amore in Bullet Club? His Wikipedia says he was in Bullet Club. Bullet Club's Wikipedia says he was in Bullet Club. We finally Googled and found a photo of him, Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, Jeff Jarrett, and AJ Styles. And lo and behold, Scott D'Amore was there in a Bullet Club shirt. So the man at the driving wheel of Impact seems to have been... graced the Bullet Club ranks for a little bit. But
Ross, if he's wearing a Bullet Club shirt in a picture inside a New Japan ring, I guess he was a member. I don't remember it all like that, but
we'll
dive into that, and I'll tell you my thoughts on that, huh?
We'll jog your memory in a bit, but first, in case maybe some people want to win some prizes, we're gonna take a quick break and let you know how you might be able to get your hands on a prize pack.
Beautiful.
So Tama, you heard about Manscaped?
Oh. Come on now, Ross. Of course I have, man.
I figured you'd hear about Manscaped. Everyone's got to hear about Manscaped. Look, if you don't want your partner thinking your dick smells evil and you want them calling you Bone Soldier one more time, I see you laughing at that, Tama. I know. We've all had that moment where your partner's like, you know, your dick's a little evil. If you don't want that evil dick, then you got to get Manscaped. Manscaped has a brand new electric trimmer. It's their third generation trimmer. They call it the Lawnmower 3.0. It's got a cutting edge ceramic blade. It's not going to cause any of those accidents that you don't want in a place where things have to be very careful. It's got a battery that's going to last you up to 90 minutes. You can take your time. You can trim as long as you need to. It's got water resistant technology. Groom in the shower, groom at the beach, groom under a waterfall, groom wherever you need to. It's got an LED light so you can see what you're doing. You don't have to work blind. That is not a place you want to be working blind. And let's not forget about the charging stand. You can show it off. It can look proud. It can look. It can show it. Make a conversation piece. Because let's face it, it is. It's nice to look at, and it makes people.
Use it as a microphone. Huh?
Exactly. You can start singing karaoke. You can start. You can finally lip sync for your life with Manscaped. Trim that junk ears. If you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand, first ball, first whatever.
And look, when Ross says trim your junk, he means trim your junk, okay? Now look, you may have heard about Manscaped from all over the place, all right? But ain't nobody, and I mean ain't nobody, gonna give you that deal that Thomas Island is about to give you. All right, not only do you get 20% off and free shipping with the code TAMA at manscaped.com, if you're one of the first 10 people to use the code, we will send you a Thomas Island prize pack that includes Thomas Island goodies and a little something special for me. All right, a prize pack alone is worth the price. All you have to do is use our code TAMA. Screenshot your order confirmation and tweet or Instagram us at Thomas Island. That screenshot, and then all good from there. You win. That's it. We'll pick it. Pick 10, okay? So it's that easy. Remember, 20% off with the free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code TAMA and act quickly if you want that prize pack. Treat yourself, and your balls will thank you. Okay, we're back. Here we go. Let's get right into this, Ross.
Hell yeah.
Let's jump right in. All right, first one, Cody Hall.
Cody Hall, lost member of Bullet Club. He was your first, because you're wearing your brother Hikuleo's shirt there. Hikuleo was Bullet Club's young lion.
Hey, come on, Ross. It's Hikuleo.
Hikuleo. I'm sorry. It's my New York Chicago transplant accent. I butcher everyone's name. You'd hear me say Ishii. But anyway, Cody Hall was the first Bullet Club young lion. He was the first one where you took someone under a rookie under the Bullet Club wing.
We call it in Bullet Club. The Bullet Club Young Gun, because you know the Young Lion is for the New Japan team. So Bullet Club is his own identity. We're our own faction. We call ours Bullet Club Young Gun. Yes, Cody Hall was our first Young Gun in the group where he was trying to be a member. He was in trajectory to be one of our members, and we all saw great potential in him.
Okay.
Yeah. He, you know, come on. You're the son of Reza Ramon, Scott Hall. I mean, the kid was what? 6'6", 6'7"
Yes.
Tall, solid, big body. I mean, cornbread fed, man.
He was a skyscraper, man. He was tall. He was made of steel. He was big. But I'm curious about your verbiage. Because you say he was trying to be a member of Bullet Club. He was on a trajectory. Do you feel he never quite actually? Because, you know, Wikipedia is Wikipedia. It's going to say whether you tried, whether you wanted to be, whether you were for a night, whatever. But with Cody Hall, you say he never quite.
I'm here to tell you got the callback. That he was not a member. But
okay,
yes, yet he was on his way. Mm-hmm. It's like, and I'll reference the mob. You know, you're bringing in an associate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's one of us. But he's not quite made man, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's a soldier.
He's a soldier.
Yeah,
he's a soldier, and he had a lot of potential. The kid. Solid. He could move quick for his size. Big dude, strong, super, super strong. Man, I really liked him, but I felt me and him had a little similar history. He was in the military too. He did military prior. He grew up. His father was in the business. Mm-hmm. We had this like parallel history, not parallel, similar, you know?
Yeah. You're both legacies. You're both.
Yeah, so.
And legacies with that understanding of let's call it duty. Let's call it, or whatever the military, whatever you want, the military kind of installs. Yeah.
So he was on our, he came up the dojo way. He trained with us. He rode with us everywhere. And I think he was with us for like maybe 2 years, 2-3 years.
They have him here as being among the members for at least December 2016 to 2018. So a good year and a half at least, because December 2016 to October 2018. So he had a lot of time. He was
gone before then. He was gone way before then.
Okay.
Yeah, because
I'm sorry. Cody Hall was 2015 to 2016, so really just a year. He really just had about a year and a half.
Yeah, he was there about a year. I almost think sometimes he was a little too young upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay,
he had a lot to grow into, and this could be a problem for second generations and third generations. Wrestlers is that we come in and everybody expects us, especially when your father makes an impact the way they have in the past, everybody's looking at you to fill those shoes.
Yeah.
And so when you come into the game, whoever the fans, the people you work with, they expect to see that same energy that your father had, in you. But and I sometimes think that can hurt the upcoming generations. I never wanted to be like my pop. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to. I wanted my own path. I wanted my own way. But with Cody, and it's okay if he wants to be like his dad. And I don't, but yeah, he's his own man. He did it organically, naturally. And when you coming in trying to be like him and you can't hit those notes like he can, it hurts you.
Yeah, it forces the comparison, as opposed to like, 'cause I feel like a good example is your brother Leo. He brings something so different than either you or your brother brought, or even your father brought, just because of his size and his speed, that you can't immediately compare him to Haku. You can't even compare him to his brothers. But with Cody Hall, he was even wearing trunks similar to his father's. He had the red Hall on his butt with the blood dripping down. So he was demanding that comparison, as opposed to trying to force his own thing. But do you feel like it kind of just like put blinders on him, or do you think it was how do you feel it?
It was just too young. I think upstairs was just too young.
Okay.
he just didn't know. He had no guidance, solid foundation guidance, I think, in the game.
Yeah. Did anyone try and like kind of point him if he's not going to at least take guidance?
I took him under my wing while we're in Japan everywhere. And I grew up very tough love, you know, but it's still love, but it's very, very tough.
Oh yeah. So you've explained that. You tell people to go to the gym. You tell people to work. Yeah.
Yeah. So I took him under my wing and we did a lot of matches together and he's 6'7". I'm the smallest guy. I do these like a very, I use speed is my advantage and I use that. I think he wanted at the time, the Bucks were hot. PWG was hot. Mm-hmm. All these like bumping, no selling, flip flop, flippity dips, this dive, this, all that. Cody wanted to do all that. He wanted to do that kind of like, you're 6'7" trying to dive out. Bro, I'm not catching you. All right. You, when you're a giant like that, you got to understand your realm. You know, you shouldn't lawyer yourself down to middlemen. All right. And understand your role and really take advantage of that. And I don't think he understood that or got it at all. And so, after, you know, he didn't last long. New Japan could see he didn't follow too much instructions very well, I think, or just catching on. I mean, and when I say instructions, I mean catching on to see, you know, to what he is and what he's capable of moving forward. So I saw that they were looking at letting him go and, you know, if he didn't like pick up. But then after, like, he hurt himself off a dive, I think, from the Young Bucks to him. And it was just like a bad little, like, mistake. But the fact that he didn't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. At that stage, he couldn't catch somebody when there was, like, five other people there. And he's the one who got hurt. It told us, that's a telling sign to the rest of us, you know. And I felt bad for him because how was many times we told him to you know, this way, that way? He was just adamant about going his own way. I mean, in that, when I say his own way, is what he saw in like on PWG shows on YouTube. Yeah. It just didn't click, man.
I think that's because that was going to be my next question. Was he at least trying to take the advice people were giving him? But you make it sound like he really did have this idea of who he was supposed to be, and to the point where when I was introduced to Cody Hall, he was literally had like the Young Bucks on his shoulders coming to the ring, and that's presenting someone like a giant. That's trying to remind someone you're a tall dude.
Act oh, you
like
came a tall in at dude. The end.
Yeah, I came in towards – when I started truly covering or at least watching regularly, I came in towards the end of, like, Cody Hall being with the Bucks. Because it did feel like they were really trying to instill this big man driving. Yeah. So they were even presenting him that way, and then he wouldn't move that way. He wouldn't act that way. And
there's stages of bringing – bringing a young boy through, and the stages you got to bring him, and before you give him more responsibilities, see what you were talking about, what you came in, he had too much responsibilities on a live pay-per-view show.
Gotcha.
And you can't load that on a young kid who doesn't understand what's going on, you know, and we've tried to beat it into him and it's just not working. So, you know, that's, it sucks, man. It sucks, and I feel for him, and I hope he's doing well. He did go to, like, Noah, I think, and did some work in Noah, but I don't know if he's there anymore. I heard he went through some stuff there, and he's somewhere else, in Europe maybe. But, you know, best of luck to him. But he's our first, I would say, oh, man, that sucks. The forgotten, the lost member, of Bullet Club.
It's not a pejorative. When Bullet Club has been around as long as Bullet Club's been around, some people aren't going to be the first one you think about. And some people have such a – because I feel like the next guy we're going to talk about is such the opposite of Cody Hall, from a true young gun to someone who has decades of experience in this business. who has, he's been a part of the NWO. He's been a part of the Four Horsemen. And for a brief period, he was a part of Bullet Club. We're talking about the one, the only Jeff Double J Jarrett.
Oh, Double J.
This was an interesting period because not only was Jeff Jarrett in Bullet Club, he was also running a promotion at the time called Global Force Wrestling that was touting some kind of connection to New Japan. They show up in August and they sign a contract saying New Japan and GFW are working together. They have Anderson and Gallows on a couple tapings that have still yet to see the light of day and may have possibly been erased by Anthem. That is, man, the lawsuit is pending. But what do you remember about the Double J, Jeff Jarrett, GFW era? Because you brought up before, Jarrett wasn't the most forthcoming with how much Bullet Club was going to be involved in GFW. Am I wrong?
Yeah. You know, before we get to that part, look, when they brought Jeff Jarrett in, I was like, what the
yeah,
come on, man. You know,
yeah,
let's not make this an NWO now.
Okay, you know?
And that's my first thought. I was like, why? These are a stable of young, hungry guys that are pushing forward. And then you bring in Jeff Jarrett, and my first thought was, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So, but look, I understand it now, you know, once I figured it out, you know, we were trying to come over to the American market. And because Jeff Jarrett had done business when he was running TNA out of Orlando, he was the one that worked together with New Japan in bringing Okada to TNA. And Okada did his excursion. So he did business, and New Japan took notice of his good business then.
I was going to say, it was a time where, like, even the TNA title was defended at Wrestle Kingdom. Like, the two companies were very, were very close in that
era. Very close. And so Jeff Jarrett was going to help us expand into the American market. And so they did some deals, and of course he wasn't, you know, after a while being in, I was like, all right, whatever, we'll roll with it. Did it help him out a lot? Hell yeah, man. It helped his Global Force, whatever the hell that was, wrestling that they made me a part of that I didn't know I was a part of, you know.
They were like advertising, not just the Anderson and Gallows. They were like, yeah, we're gonna have Gorillas of Destiny or whoever.
They had a damn booklet with my picture in it, and I was like, what the, come on, man, come on, somebody pay me something, call me at least, let me know I'm in it. You know, oh my goodness, that's false advertisement, Jeff Jarrett. I love you, dog, but damn, man. You know, god damn. But, you know, he went to Mexico, did his little, you know, deal wearing Bullet Club shirts. And that's,
I was gonna say, because he brought Bullet Club to AAA. He was showing up at like Triple Mania.
But this guy here, let me tell you something, we don't work with AAA, all right?
Yeah.
It's
been a CMLL thing.
He might have taken Bullet Club to Mexico, but I had already done that. Had already taken Bullet Club to CMLL, yeah, like 2 years before then, man. 2 years before then. And that's a shoot, you know? Yep. So, look, Jeff Jarrett was great and all, but then, you know, I don't know what happened. His promises of helping us expand to America didn't quite work out, I guess. I'm not sure, but he just kind of, I don't know. Did he stay in Mexico? What happened to him, man?
He went down to Mexico. He was in Mexico for a while. Now he's a producer over at WWE. He was
goodness. Hey, Jeff Jarrett, man, if I'm talking shit, I'm sorry, dog. I love you.
I think Jeff Jarrett would be the first one to tell you that Jarrett does what Jarrett has to do to keep moving. And he was one of the few people who survived the big culling that WWE did at the beginning of the year. He's still working there. So the man, you have to respect the hustle. You cannot. The man is legendary.
Hell yeah, man.
But speaking of
us going out to Mexico, me taking Bullet Club to Mexico. Look, I took Bullet Club to Mexico because there was already Bullet Club members in CMLL. That's right. El Terrible was already a member of Bullet Club. And he was out there in Japan running with us.
When Bullet Club formed, you were still, I believe, tag champs with Terrible.
I was tag champs with Terrible twice, all right, in the CMLL. And then so Terrible, a lot of people don't know this, but Terrible was part of Bullet Club when Finn Balor was the front man. He was with us that first year. Mm-hmm. So, man, he just – but after a while, you know, I took a Bullet Club there, and we tried to, you know, run it big. But, you know, CMLL got their own thing, and it just never panned out, never worked out with Bullet Club down there. But but El Taribe still worked here and there, and he had but after a while, I think he switched. I don't know when he switched.
He switched over to Los Ingobernables and CMLL, and then eventually he was brought over by, I believe, Shingo Takagi to team with him for the tag league, which makes Terrible actually the first person to be a part of Bullet Club and LIJ before Evil turned the whole wrestling world upside down. Terrible was, without even really announcing it, was just making moves. Uh-huh. First season Bullet Club for a while, then Bullet Club kind of moves away from, like you said, from CMLL for whatever reason, just not gelling. So he moves over to Los Ingobernables, ends up in Tag League, making some history.
And now he's a forgotten Bullet Club member.
He's kind of a forgotten LIJ member at this point. Don't remember. Damn. No one knew he was a part of LIJ until he shows up in Tag League.
Only Mexico knew that, man. But. Yep. Another guy from Mexico was Rey Bucanero, who I was tag team champions with, was in Bullet Club. And he was – now, Rey and Terrible were at the very beginning of Bullet Club. And, and we did, you know, at the rise with Prince David, you know, we were working a lot with Mexico. And those two came in and was part of Bullet Club at the very beginning. And it was fun, man. Rey Bucanero did – we did some cool things besides being a tag champs. He was part of one of my most memorable matches that I saw with Prince David at Tanahashi. This is when we were pushing Prince David as the real rock and roller. Mm-hmm. He had a match with Tanahashi in Osaka, man. And all of us Bullet Club was right there by the ring. And that includes Rey Bucanero. And Tana had, like, he had Captain New Japan. He had, was it Tiger Mask? Mm-hmm. And maybe Taguchi, man. And it was the first time I felt the pop of what Bullet Club as a heel can bring to the table, man.
Yeah. What was the moment that, like,
we did this spot at the end where, you know, we're about to cheat. This is when we were starting the whole cheating thing, man. And, Tana was about to get up on Prince David, the rock and roller, and then Anderson slid in and popped. One of us slid in and caught Tanahashi. Freaking Captain New Japan slid in and freaking popped that dude off. I slid in, went for something, but Captain New Japan pushed me off, caught me with a rock bottom. Boom, I slid out, and then somebody knocked him out, and then Tiger Mask came with. Man, the crowd, when we did this escalate, this, you know, one after the other on top of each other, at the end, man, Tana was at the top, man, the crowd went nuts, bro. Rey Bucanero was the one I just remember him getting drop kicked by Tiger Mask off the top rope. I just remember that, but... Yeah, man, not to get too far off, but Rey Bucanero is now a forgotten member of Bullet Club. Drop kick by Tiger Mask, he goddamn drop kicked out of the Bullet Club. So he was gone, man. He was gone.
But clearly not forgotten to you, if you can remember.
I got such a great moment. I got history with him now. Me and him, we were tag champs, man. But check this out. Hey, before we head on to the next guy, which will be Bone Soldier.
Captain New Japan.
Captain New Japan / Bone Soldier. Let's take a little break. We'll be right back. Now, if you guys haven't joined us here on Tama's Island, do so now at patreon.com/ Tama's Island. You'll get the full version of this great interview with the great brother, Luke Doc Gallows, and more. You'll get no ads. Come and join on our Facebook group, Tama's Island Facebook group. Ross, let these great people here on Tama's Island know what's going on, man.
That's right, Tama. If you want to hear the full uncut Luke Gallows interview, you just need to become a tourist level subscriber or above over at patreon.com/ Tama's Island. We still have room open in all of the happy hours, be it the 5 p.m. happy hour, be at the 6 p.m. happy hour. If you subscribe to the happy hour level, you get 4 happy hours a month where it's you, me, Tama, and a whole bunch of other people of the Tama's Island subscribers just hanging out, talking about that week. Sometimes we talk wrestling. Sometimes we talk comics. Sometimes we talk art. We talk whatever, music, anything. We're dropping Friday quotes. It's a good time.
That's great.
Patreon.com/Tama's Island.
Okay, we're back. As promised, we're going to talk about Bone Soldier, the first Bone Soldier. Yes, man. Bone Soldier.
I got to know, where does the idea for Bone Soldier come from? Where does the idea for making Captain New Japan a part of Bullet Club?
All right. I'm going to tell you the real, this is a shoot story, man. All right. Captain New Japan was going hot, man, because he was like, you know, nobody took him serious, but his gimmick was getting over.
Yeah.
It was getting over. And then I don't know what happened, but it did like a pivot, and he started going down.
Okay.
His popularity just started going down. And we were trying to figure out what to do with him. Well, not we. The management was trying to figure out what to do with him. And I shit you not, the reason why Captain New Japan came in as Bone Soldier to Bullet Club was because it was Kenny Omega's idea.
Oh, wow. It feels like it because it has this kind of DDT-ish vibe to it of saying Captain New Japan is now, I hesitate to say this, but it is kind of like the prequel to Barry the Bear and having a mascot for Bullet Club.
Because
Captain New Japan, I think what worked about him is you were never supposed to see him as the IWGP champion. You were supposed to see him as like the rally monkey at the game where you're like, yeah, Captain New Japan, let's go New Japan. So now you have that for Bullet Club as this reminder of we can turn literally anything into something wicked. So Kenny's the one who drops the idea of Bone Soldier.
Kenny came to me and Fale and dropped the idea. And, you know, me and Fale, we got a soft spot for, like, people at the bottom of the hierarchy, man. And Captain New Japan is at the bottom.
Total underdog.
Yeah. And so me and Fale okayed it, but I didn't know exactly what Kenny's plans were. I just knew, hey, just bring him in. I was like, sure, you know, what's his name? So bring him in. So I decided I was going to work this dude out. So every day I'd wake up and I told him to meet me at the gym at 9 o'clock in the morning and we work out together. Mm-hmm. And every day I'd get up from my hotel, take 45 minutes to get to the dojo, and I meet him up over there and we work out because I was determined to make this guy a great, at least, muscular. If we're gonna give him Bone Soldier a gimmick, come on, you gotta pull through, man. You gotta pull through. And so we did that, man. On the road, I was like, me and him were just, we linked up always while we were on the road at the hotels. We go work out and come back. And I learned a lesson there that, you know, if no matter how much I pushed him and got on him to work out, to do this, he just never could get to the next level. He just never moved up. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that if you don't want this shit, man, you ain't gonna move forward. You ain't gonna, no matter how many times, it's like fitness, right? You get a trainer. You get a trainer, they're just, you know, they can motivate and push you, but if you don't want this shit, you ain't gonna do it. You ain't gonna lose no weight. You ain't gonna get fit. So that's the story with Bone Soldier, man. I worked his ass out so hard, man. And after a while, I think he just took the easy way out. He quit, man. We came in one day. We came into the dojo, man. His whole locker room was emptied out. He fucking dipped out, man.
Middle of the night, just completely.
Nah, man. I don't even know when he did it. He just dipped. You know, I think he took some time off. He took some time off to. I think he had like, I don't know, even know. He took some time off, and I would text him. I was like, hey, man, you all right? You good? And then he stopped coming into working out. And then next thing I know, his locker room was empty. And I find out he's now a basketball coach up in the northern island of Hokkaido or Japan. I'm sorry. So, yeah, man, how you go from a wrestler, you know, a wrestler to a basketball coach, huh? So That's where Captain Bone Soldier. I'm gonna call him Captain Bone Soldier.
Captain Bone Soldier. What, as long as he's happy. I remember when Ishimori debuted and everyone was teasing that Bone Soldier was coming back. He tweeted out that he was at a baseball game at the Tokyo Dome that area. He's like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm living life. I don't know what this whole Bone Soldier thing is. And so I just remember seeing that and thinking, well, at least he's happy. At least
happy now, man. He's happy. So, hey, good luck to you, first Bone Soldier. All right, good. Indeed. I hope you listen to this and well wishes to you, man. But, okay, Frankie Kazarian.
Frankie Kazarian was for a brief
man, he's not even, man, come on. I don't even know why his name is on Wikipedia. Come on now, people. He wasn't a Bullet Club member.
It was in that, we've talked about this, the Elite era when you don't even know what's happening in Ring of Honor because they're making their own moves. Kazarian was, I guess, a member for about just under a month in a way for SCU to get one up on Bullet Club.
I'm going to officially say this right now. Frankie Kazarian was never a Bullet Club member.
All right. Add him to the list with Cody Hall. Never official. Right. never made the ranks.
Never made the ranks, man. Frankie, I love you, dog. All right, but you were never a Bullet Club member, bro. All right, you can't. That Trojan horse didn't work, bro. Yep. All right, they didn't work that time. But I love you. All right, next one. Who we got?
Next up, we're gonna take a little bit over to Hollywood related to the Kazarian thing. Stephen Amell for a little bit.
Man, come on, man. For a little bit, Amell wasn't no Bullet Club member.
Hey, Cody. Cody gave him an Aero Club shirt. He had a match at All In.
Cody gave his wife a Aero shirt too, but doesn't mean she was a Bullet Club member either.
Well, there you go.
I don't care what anybody says. Frankie, Stephen Amell, Brandi Rhodes, name them. None of them was in Bullet Club, okay? You're affiliated. You're affiliated, okay? You can come in. Somebody can vouch for you. You can come in, walk in the building with them. That's cool. Walk up to the ring. But that doesn't mean you're Bullet Club, all right? That doesn't mean squat, okay? Till you're made a made man, that's when you become Bullet Club. But other than that, you ain't nothing. I'm sorry, Steven. I don't care how many movies you've done. I don't care if you're a Broken Arrow, the Fixed Arrow, or Curvy Arrow, whatever kind of arrow, Spaghetti Arrow you were in. You ain't Bullet Club, bro, okay? You ain't never been a wrestler. You come in, do one match over at All In, not even a New Japan show. It's an All In. You're not even a Bullet Club, bro. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Hey, but can you give me some free tickets to one of your movies, though?
There you go.
Hey, come on.
There you come go. Always remember.
Can we say they were an okay? How about this? How about this? Can we put them as an honorary member? Does that work?
We can do honorary members. We can say
okay.
We can say Brandi Rhodes honorary Bullet Club. Stephen Amell honorary Bullet Club. Are we?
Frankie,
are we
well, let's put Frankie in that one too, man.
Frankie Kazarian. All right, congratulations, Frankie Kazarian. Yeah. Might have been a Trojan horse, but an honorary Bullet Club member.
There you go.
What are we saying about Cody Hall? Are we saying honorary, or are we still saying he just missed the mark?
Oh man! See, he was on his way. I would say because he did time, man. He was what does that fall under though?
Here's where I'm at with Cody Hall. Yeah. He's very young.
Yeah,
and so there's still time for him to figure it out and time for him to learn from his first time in Bullet Club. So it's a carrot and the stick thing. If we make him an honorary right now, he's got no reason to try and make official ranks later.
I like that. I like that. Oh,
I'm just that's just my
got, hey, Cody, man, if you're listening to this, dog, I still got hope for you, man.
Yep.
All right. There's still room here for you in Bullet Club. Mm-hmm. All right. Get your shit together and come on over, man. All right. We'll continue off right where we left off, man. All right.
There you go.
Bang.
There you go.
Cool. All right. Who we got next, man?
The last one we got to talk about is one that is very divisive. Even before we filmed this, we had to Google whether or not this person was officially Bullet Club. We're going back to the GFW connection now because we got to talk about Scott D'Amore. Scott D'Amore of Team Canada, Scott D'Amore of TNA, Scott D'Amore, Jeff Jarrett's right-hand man during the GFW days. Scott D'Amore, we even Googled before this, like we said in the introduction. We found a picture of him in the Bullet Club shirt. And even now, as he's kind of in the driver's seat of Impact Wrestling, he's brought in Carl Anderson. He's brought in Luke Gallows. He seems to be he seems to be back on the radar, if not, you know, actively.
Wait a minute. Scott D'Amore's running TNA?
He seems to, I mean, look, if you watch TNA, he's the one running everything backstage.
Hey, Scott D'Amore, if you're running TNA, then of course Scott D'Amore was in Bullet Club. Come on now.
There you go. the man that brought your good brothers back for the pay-per-view main event, Scott D'Amore, was at one point with the GFW in the same breath that Jeff Jarrett was adding himself to Bullet Club. Scott D'Amore was also joining the ranks. But We don't even have to talk about him in Bullet Club. You've known Scott D'Amore in some capacity. You got any good like Scott D'Amore story?
I just know he has a long history in wrestling. Mm-hmm. He knows my past very well. I didn't spend that much time with him while he was in Japan. I don't know him as well as the Good Brothers, but I know he's a good brother, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, that's all. I don't really know much about him.
Okay.
You know, just that he has that history.
Then you know what? I'm gonna use this as a since we're talking Scott D'Amore, since we're talking the Good Brothers, I want to use this as a jump off to just do a quick talk about Slammiversary, because the Good Brothers are back on pay-per-view, they're back on TV. They've aligned themselves with Eddie Edwards, who's I never would have guessed it in a million years, but it felt so right when the two of them started when the three of them, I should say, started kind of fighting. You got any history with Eddie Edwards? You know anything about Eddie Edwards?
No, never. I might have met him once, but it was just passing by. I don't know much about him. I mean, besides his history.
That's what I mean. I don't want to make you know.
But it's good to see the Good Brothers back on TV. Right. You know, I texted the Good Brother Anderson 2 days ago. I was like, hey man, how's it feel to be free? He's like, oh man, fresh air. He goes, but I'm not really free. I'm at taping right now. I'm starting to get pissed off.
There you go.
But, hey, I know he's happy. I know he's happy to be doing what he's doing right now. He's happy to have work at these times. And I'm happy for them. I'm really happy that they're in TNA Impact. I'm sorry, not TNA Impact.
Well, they got the TNA World title is also on the show now. So they're embracing both names, it feels like. And this is why I did want to bring up Scott D'Amore. He does seem to be making it a place of conversation once again, especially with the acquisitions they made this weekend.
Oh yeah, they had a lot of names drop, huh? A lot of surprises from the things I saw on online. There was a lot of good reviews. I only watched the part there with the Good Brothers.
Oh, of course.
I'm in there to support the Good Brothers, and it looked good. A little nice little magic killer. Now they're seeing now Eddie, they're coming off as baby faces, right?
Yep.
Big baby faces.
Now, big time.
It's a switch up from the other company, huh? Because the other company, they were heels, right?
Yep. The other company, they were heels. But, I mean, my thing with Impact is Impact has a lot of heels. There's a lot of bad guys in Impact. And so to have some have just a little bit more people to cheer for, I think evening those odds is going to make for a little more even keel on the programming. Because it has been very bad guy centric, to put it best.
I think they talked about it. They had other plans, and this was plan B. On their Talking Shop podcast, they revealed that they were going to come in and the first plan was to jump. Was it Tessa Blanchard, I think? This is before she went out, and it was going to be their, put them as heels. But then because Tessa's out, this was the plan B. And I think it works out for them. Like you said, they need some baby faces.
Well, and it's also like you said, you don't really know much about Eddie Edwards. Yeah. These aren't they don't have a lot of history there. There's still time for them to.
Yeah.
There's still time for the, you don't know whose side they're on. You know whose side they're on right now, but you don't know whose side they're going to be on Tuesday.
God. Oh, it's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. There. Holy cow. That's our is it forgotten members of Bullet Club?
Yeah, the lost generation, the silent generation.
Ross, it was nice, man. This is nice to kind of dive back and check out the lost members of Bullet Club, and just kind of put a little life back into the name for those that was with us and those who's gone on to greener pastures, enjoying life outside of wrestling. It's great, man. Bullet Club.
It brings him out into the light. We get to talk about the fact that Scott D'Amore, even if he was shortly in Bullet Club, there is that tie there when he brings the Good Brothers in. We can talk about the, like, I maintain this conversation has earned Cody Hall a second chance, it sounds like. I mean, it was always there, but now you've put that out into the universe.
Hey, I put that out, man. I got love for the kid. So thank you very much, Ross. This is a nice dive into the lost Bullet Club members. And we'll join you back, join us back next week here on Thomas Island Podcast. Y'all enjoy your week. Ain't nobody really than Gorilla. Ain't nobody really than Gorilla. I said, ain't nobody really than Gorilla. Ain't nobody really than Gorilla. Gorilla tactics. Whoa, you know we bout action. Whoa, you know we not lacking. Whoa, match us not matching. Whoa, jump up on the rope. Up in your face, no, we ain't tapping out. What, y'all ain't but this way. Whoa, Gorilla Tactics. Ain't nobody really than Gorilla. Gorilla Tactics. Ain't nobody really than Gorilla.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.